Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, January 26, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the evangelism team was at Child Haven yesterday, and it was phenomenal. The report from Jamie and the team, we had another great visit to Child Haven where we saw the grace and the power of God at work. They had a total of 15 elementary age children on campus, so they combined the girls and the boys. We had 14 to start out, but two of the boys left early. Karina began by giving the gospel using the wordless book. And then Daria taught the lesson Psalm 23 and the parable of the lost sheep. Both did a great job, clearly presenting the gospel and basic doctrines. The staff members were listening and seemed to be positive. One of the older girls started crying when Daria read the Lost Sheep book. Later, Karina talked with her. This girl said she has felt so lost. Karina told her, when you believe in Jesus Christ, He is right there with you forever. He is your shepherd. She was very happy about what she learned in class today. The children made lamb sock puppets and received a Plan of God necklace and booklet that explains what each colored bead represents, giving the gospel. They also received Psalm 23 coloring books and crayons, a mini lost sheep booklet, and treats. Al made sure that all of the staff members got a gospel booklet. Last week, Renetta let us know about a teenage girl there that will turn 18 on February 9th. Her name is Chaslyn. She had asked for a Bible and said she was interested in getting baptized. So the Upland ladies all brought things to put into a birthday bag for her. She was sleeping when they went to get her and had to wake her up. She was a good sport and was so surprised when we gave her the gift. Inside was a Bible promise book, a journal and promises kit, toiletries, gift cards, socks, jewelry, and all sorts of what Jerry called girly things, like lip gloss and lotions and hair bands and you name it. She was so happy, and she is very positive. Daria went through the gospel with her and told her that the very second she believes in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes her into union with Jesus Christ. And that is the baptism we need. We finished off by singing the official Upland Bible Church version of Happy Birthday. Please keep Chaslyn in your prayers. She has to leave Child Haven once she turns 18. She is going to live with an older sister. So it was fantastic. And like I say, it is only the grace and power of God that can open that door for the evangelism team at Upland to go, because it's a government-run institution. And yet they ask us to come back and come back and come back and give the grace gospel to the kids that are there. Fantastic. Now, remind you, after the second class this morning, our congregational meeting is after the second class. And the deacons, all three of them all of a sudden become pastors. And they'll be up here in charge and running the show. So that's after the second class, congregational meeting. All right. Well, this has been, Romans is so fantastic, and where we are is just amazing. Romans 8, we'll start with the corrected translation of Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, that keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, i.e. what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit-filled life, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, i.e. God and His Word. Verse 6, so then, the mindset controlled by the sin nature is death, carnal death, and if you continue long enough, resulting in the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, filling of the Spirit, teaching ministry of the Spirit, is life, the spiritual life, resulting in eirene. Eirene is the Greek equivalent of shalom. These are words for the greatest prosperity and blessing. That's what is involved in eirene, peace. Great, great, grace, blessings. Well, so after we believe in Jesus Christ, what's God's plan for us? Or we got the fire insurance paid up, so we just stop there? A lot of Christians do. They believe in Christ, and that's it. That's the end. And of course, they never advance to maturity. They never honor God. They never glorify God. And unfortunately, in the time in which we're living, they're a part of the problem rather than a part of the solution. But God's plan doesn't stop at salvation. It doesn't stop at the moment of faith in Christ. God's plan for you is to receive blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. That's His plan. You are left in this life to be blessed by God. This divine plan of blessing began of salvation with the 40 salvation blessings, which we studied in detail. And then every day from that day of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, God has been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? Why is He keeping us alive? So that we might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. And what is that? Well, He's given us a mandate, a command for all of us. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you attain teleos. You become a spiritually mature believer and fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing. Now, these greater grace blessings are poured out only on the believer who attains spiritual maturity. Greater grace blessings are not poured out on baby believers, not poured out on adolescent believers, not poured out on carnal reversionistic believers, only on those who attain teleos, spiritual maturity. Then God sends down that grace pipeline. Greater grace blessings. Now the nomenclature comes from James 4:6, but He, God, gives us greater grace. Greater grace blessings are made up of several categories of blessings, and we studied those last Sunday. Category number one, spiritual blessings. We all get these in spiritual maturity. When you attain spiritual maturity, every one of you have these fantastic spiritual blessings. First of all, Jesus Christ is the most important love of your life. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. He makes Himself at home in your heart. And you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What a blessing! What a blessing to have Jesus Christ at home in your heart, occupation with Christ. You also have the fantastic blessing of sharing the happiness of God. Self-contained happiness. 24/7, 365 days a year, you always have the happiness of God in your heart. That's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ. Fantastic spiritual blessing. And every mature believer has that. And if you don't have that, well, then you keep on keeping on. Keep on growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And once you attain spiritual maturity, this will be reality in your life. Reality. And I see when you look around and out, there are a lot of people out there that don't have plus age. They're not happy people. They're not happy people when they drive their car. Road rage. I mean, they run you off the road, and then when you don't let them in, then they tell you you're number one. You know, I just say thank you very much. A third part of these spiritual blessings: fantastic capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, capacity for blessing, and capacity for adversity. It also includes total appreciation of the grace of God, because you have maximum grace orientation. You've grown up in grace, maximum grace orientation. You know that God is absolutely everything and that we are absolutely nothing. All that we have and all that we are is because of the grace of God. It includes the ability to clear the hurdles of undeserved suffering in life with precisely correct procedure. And God has given us that precisely correct procedure. And you, the mature believer, has it. Out on the flat line of his soul, he has God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure, and he applies them. He applies them skillfully and accurately to his life in times of undeserved suffering for blessing. It includes the ability to correctly interpret contemporary history and evaluate current events in the light of the Word of God. It includes freedom from slavery to circumstances in life and the adaptability to changing circumstances. And it includes the spiritually mature believer is the greatest innovator in time of historical disaster. It also includes not only maximum grace orientation, but maximum freedom orientation and maximum authority orientation. It also includes a total sense of security, whether you're living in times of prosperity or in times of disaster. Every spiritually mature believer has these fantastic blessings. This is a part of the greater grace blessings for the winner believer, the mature believer. Category number two are temporal blessings that include wealth, either received or acquired, professional prosperity, social prosperity, great friends, technical prosperity, mental prosperity, cultural prosperity, maximum enjoyment of art, literature, music, history. Of course, it's hard to listen to music much anymore. There's a lot of noise, but very little music, you know. Establishment, prosperity, enjoyment of freedom and privacy, and the protection of life and property from criminals and reprisal. All of that, the fantastic temporal blessing. Category number three, very special, blessings by association. Those around the spiritually mature believer are blessed by their association or relationship with that person. They are blessed either directly by God or indirectly from the spiritually mature believer as a result of the overflow of his greater grace blessing. The spiritually mature believer shares his blessings with others. He is very gracious and very generous. There are peripheral areas of blessing by association, such as loved ones, in business life, in social life, and in a local church. There are also geographical blessings to the spiritual mature believer's city and state and nation. And that brought us to category number four, historical blessings. The spiritually mature believer carries his generation. He stabilizes his generation and becomes a stabilizer for future historical generations. Category number five, dying grace blessing. We're all going to die apart from the rapture, and I admit I think the rapture could be pretty close. But we're all going to die. Now, how are you going to die? I don't mean, are you going to die, you know, of riding with Pastor Olson when he falls asleep or something like that? I mean, you have a choice. You can die dying grace, fantastic blessing of dying grace, or you can make bad decisions and die the sin unto death. And a lot, unfortunately, and it's sad to say, today a lot of Christians are dying the sin unto death under divine discipline. They don't have to. God gave us a free will and a volition. Every believer has a choice in time between being positive to God and the Word of God and receiving dying grace, or being negative to Bible doctrine and living in the cosmic system and dying the sin unto death. Dying grace is the greatest experience in life. You don't want to miss out on that. It's dessert. It is the antithesis of the sin unto death. The perfect happiness of the spiritually mature believer in time is exceeded by his happiness in dying grace. Therefore, the spiritually mature believer has the best of life, better in dying, and better than the best for all eternity. And that brought us to category number six. Category number six of this greater grace blessing package, in many ways, is the best of all of them. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Only comes to the winner, believer. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Now, there are two main categories of suffering. Punitive suffering, and sad to say, that's what most believers are having today, punitive suffering, because they're making bad decisions. Bad decisions. They're through negative volition, through arrogance, making bad decisions. And when they do that, they live out of fellowship with God. When you're out of fellowship with God, you're living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And the Lord loves us with infinite virtue love. He wants to bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us. But when you use your free will to make bad decisions, get out of fellowship with God, get into Satan's cosmic system, from God's virtue love, he has to spank you, discipline you. And that discipline is, why does he do it? He doesn't want you to fall off the cliff and crash and burn. He wants to bless you. God wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. But when you are making bad decisions like this, then he has to spank you to get your attention. Hey, you're wrong. You're out of line. You have to rebound, get back into fellowship with God, get back into the filling of the Spirit, get back into the spiritual life. You have to, I want to bless you, but because of your bad decisions, I have to discipline you. That's unfortunately where most Christians are in America today. But for those winner believers, spiritually mature believers, they receive what I consider the greatest honor while you're here on this earth. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Only in time does God have the opportunity to give us pressure, disaster, and undeserved suffering for blessing to prove to Satan and the fallen angels that Bible doctrine can handle any situation. God gives us the ability to handle suffering and turn suffering into blessing. The spiritually mature believer's ability to handle undeserved suffering and clear the hurdles of undeserved suffering by God's grace and God's power glorifies God to the maximum and becomes evidence against Satan in his appeal trial. Undeserved suffering for blessing is also used by God to help you keep your eyes on God and your focus on eternity. Undeserved suffering teaches us the value of the Word of God, the importance of Bible doctrine. It's more important than the air that you breathe. Undeserved suffering is designed to manifest the power of the spiritual life. And undeserved suffering is designed to put muscle on your faith and occupy the believer with eternal value, personal sense of destiny. All right, now, a principle. Principle. Attitude toward the Word of God in time determines all grace blessings, both in time and for eternity. Attitude toward the Word of God in time determines all grace blessings in time and for all eternity. Now we're going to take that principle and amplify that. One, in eternity past, God designed greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessings for all eternity. In eternity past, God designed greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessings for all eternity. Two, the believer can never lose his salvation or eternal life in heaven. But he can lose his greater grace blessings for time and his greater grace blessings for eternity. The believer can never lose his salvation or eternal life in heaven, but he can lose his greater grace blessings for time while we're here. We're not here a long time here. When I was a youngster, I thought time went so slow. Now, time is on light speed. Deb and I, we play Wordle every morning. Seems like we just went through. I always start out Wordle with, I go alphabetically. Pick out a word. My starting word is A word, then a B word, then a C word, D. I'd go through the alphabet. Seems like we go through the alphabet in about one day. And all of a sudden we're going through the alphabet again. Time is going so fast now. But when I was in school and going to have a test, it couldn't go fast enough. Could we please get time going faster, you know? How about the rapture before I have to take this test? That'd be good. So the believer can never lose his salvation or eternal life in heaven, but he can lose his greater grace blessings for time as well as his greater grace blessings for eternity. Three, he can lose his greater grace blessings through negative volition. Through negative volition to Bible doctrine, through arrogance, living his life out of fellowship with God. And when you're living out of fellowship with God, you've just put yourself in Satan's cosmic system. You see, the sin nature is Satan's inside agent living in you to get you in his cosmic system. So he can lose his greater grace blessings through negative volition to Bible doctrine and arrogance, living his life out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system and subsequent reversionism. Loss of greater grace blessing for time means loss of greater grace blessing for eternity. Four, therefore, attitude toward the Word of God on a daily basis is the determining factor in the angelic conflict. Attitude toward the Word of God on a daily basis is the determining factor in the angelic conflict. For the royal family of God in the church age, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the means of glorifying God to the maximum. That's when you glorify God to the maximum. And that's what we're here for, to glorify God to the maximum. Five. Negative volition to the Word of God and arrogance means you're unteachable and results in the bad decisions to live your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature and in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So negative volition to the Word of God and arrogance, which is being unteachable, results in the bad decisions. The bad decision to live your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And this results in the loss of greater grace blessing for time as well as greater grace blessing for eternity. Therefore, the importance of seizing and holding the high ground of spiritual maturity. Point six, the winner believer attains the objective of spiritual maturity. That's where what the goal is. That's what the objective is. That's the finish line, spiritual maturity. The winner believer attains the objective of spiritual maturity. Teleos believer, mature believer. And then he presses on and holds it through periods of undeserved suffering for blessing. The winner believer attains the objective of spiritual maturity, and then he presses on and holds it through periods of undeserved suffering for blessing. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Now the Apostle Paul is the human author of Philippians, perhaps the greatest believer of all time. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Teleos. Or have already been made teleos, but I press on. I press on to take hold. Keeps on keeping on. Press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brethren, fellow members of the royal family, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. What's that? To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what we're all in. We're all in a spiritual track meet. And the objective is to cross the finish line and win the prize. All of us. I just love it. God loves track and field. That's all there is to it. He loves track and field. He doesn't give a hoot about soccer. But he loves track and field. I mean, I know some of you have kids and they're playing soccer and you're a soccer mom and all these things. That's fine. But I just don't personally like soccer. I have it on every once in a while and watch it. And at the end of the whole thing, it's 0-0. What is fun about that? Now, I like a football game where it's 72-0. Yeah. I like that. Or a basketball game where it's 120-30. Oh, well. Seven. Saving grace attained by faith in Christ enters us into the royal family forever. Saving grace attained by faith in Christ enters us into the royal family forever. 8. Logistical grace then gives us temporal security, keeps us alive in the midst of the devil's world. Why? Why? Why does God give us this temporal security? So that we might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. That's why. God wants to bless us, bless us, bless us, bless. God wants to bless each one of you. Started right out with salvation blessings, then logistical grace blessings. Why? Because he wants you to advance to spiritual maturity. Become a winner believer. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Why? Because he wants to pour out on you greater grace blessings. All of you, greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings for all eternity. Awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. 9. When we make good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life and attain spiritual maturity, then God pours out greater grace blessings to us. When we make those good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life and attain spiritual maturity, then God pours out greater grace blessings for us. Above and beyond anything you could ever imagine or think. Ten. And dying grace? Well, dying grace is the bridge. The bridge between greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessings for eternity. Dying grace is the bridge. And the winner believer, when it comes time for the Lord to call you home, however it is, and it might be your dying grace part of your life, might be a second or a few seconds, and then again it might be a few years. But once you get there, you have that fantastic, self-contained happiness. You have Jesus Christ is your most important love. You have absolute confidence that Jesus Christ is holding your hand, one of them. God the Father is holding the other one. You have that peace which transcends all human understanding. And as you go through the dying phase of your life, as you eat the dessert, chocolate pie, whipped cream, maraschino cherry, you have your fantastic inner peace, happiness, blessing. You enjoy the ride. You enjoy the ride. The ride might be a few seconds. The ride might be a few months. It might be a few years. But you totally enjoy the ride. And I hope that's true for all of you when you get to that point. So dying grace is the bridge between greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for eternity. 11. Greater grace blessings for eternity are the crowns and rewards and the decorations given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture. Greater grace blessings for eternity are the crowns and rewards and decorations given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. So Romans 8, 5 and 6 again says, for those believers who live according to the sin nature, keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit-filled life, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, God and the Word of God. Verse 6, so then, the mindset controlled by the sin nature is death, carnal death, And if you continue in Satan's cosmic system, resulting in the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, is life, spiritual life, resulting in peace. Eirene. Great, great grace, blessings upon blessings upon blessings. All right, now that brings us to verse 7. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's a kind of a word that, how many of you use enmity? Is that in your vocabulary? Enmity. See, I can't use it in Wordle because it's six letters, not five. But now, here's a word that's in your vocabulary. Enemy. Now that's a word we can use in Wordle. It's five letters. Enemy. I think you understand enemy. You might not understand enmity, but you understand enemy. All right? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. This is the causal conjunction DOT plus the nominative singular of phronema with the definite article plus the genitive singular of sarx with the definite article, plus the predicate nominative of ekthra, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative singular of theos. Now, we start out with dioti. Not doti, but dioti. D-I-O-T-I. Dioti. And dioti is a causal conjunction. It's correctly translated because. And then we have ta phronema te sarkos. That's the exact same phrase, the exact same phrase we had in verse 6. And it's correctly translated because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature. We had the exact same phrase in verse 6. Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is ekthra. E-C-H-T-H-R-A. Ekthra. All right, a couple of things on ekthra. First of all, ekthra means alienation and hostility. Alienation and hostility. Point two. The adjective that comes from ekthra is ekthros. Oop. I know you all caught that. Ekthros. E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. Ekthros. And when the adjective ekthros is used substantively, it functions as a noun and is correctly translated the enemy. The enemy. Three. The mind controlled by the sin nature not only results in carnal death that, if you live long enough, leads to sin unto death, but it also makes you the enemy of God. The mind controlled by the sin nature not only results in carnal death leading to the sin unto death, but it also makes you the enemy of God. How about that? Believers. Can believers in Jesus Christ become the enemy of God? Yes. Sad to say. In fact, the Apostle Paul cried, had with tears, he wrote about believers that had made themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ. And there are many, many believers today in America, sad to say, who are the enemy of God. They made themselves the enemy of God. 4. Ekthra, ace theon, means hostility against God or the enemy of God. Hostility against God or the enemy of God. 5. Every believer who makes bad decisions to have his soul controlled by the sin nature and lives out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system makes himself the enemy of God. Every believer who makes bad decisions to have his soul controlled by the sin nature out of fellowship with God and lives in Satan's cosmic system, he makes himself the enemy of God. And I want you to turn to James 4:4, and we're going to stop our first class with this morning. James 4, verse 4. And then we'll take a break, then have the second class, and then remind you again, congregational meeting after the second class. James 4:4. Starts out in verse 4, you adulteresses. And this is spiritual adultery. Instead of your Jesus Christ as your most important love, you have, in spiritual adultery, turn away. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the cosmos is the cosmic system, Satan's cosmic system, do you not know that friendship with the cosmos is hatred toward God? And therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the cosmos, the cosmic system, makes himself. Nobody else makes you this. You make yourself the enemy of God. Pretty powerful. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, makes himself an enemy of God. Okay. Well, we're going to stop there, take a break, and we'll come back in a few for part 2.